Greetings and salutations, everybody. Welcome to the 82nd episode of the Promenade Merchants Podcast. Now, I know what you're saying. You probably don't see episode 81 in your feed, but we did it. It's there. It's in the Strange New Pod feed. Go check out our buddies at Strange New Pod. We did the thing for the Discovery celebration for season 5. That was our 81st episode. This is 82. I'm David Majors, and I am joined by my fantastic co-host, Heather Kirby. Hey, Heather, what's going on?
What is up, David? It's WrestleMania weekend, so I have a feeling that this episode is going to be more filled with wrestling references than any of our other episodes before.
It really, really is. If you're new to the podcast, hi, I'm David. That's Heather. This is a Star Trek podcast. Don't worry. We're totally talking Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery Season 5 is back. We're going to talk about it. We do our three acts, the old business, the new business, the upcoming business. We're totally going to do all of that. We promise. Star Trek, I promise. But we are wrestling fans, both Heather and I. And it is WrestleMania weekend, so there's WrestleMania 40 happening in Philadelphia, as well as a bunch of other small wrestling events all across Philadelphia. So some of that this episode might bleed in. So that's your warning, but I promise, Star Trek, Star Trek, Star Trek. I promise. I pinky swear. We pinky swear, okay? No takesy-backsies, I promise. So, all right, let's jump in. So if you're new to the podcast, we do it in a three-act format, where we talk about old business, new business, which is currently happening in Star Trek right now, and then we'll talk about upcoming business, where we get into the news and notes and look a little further ahead. And Heather, I absolutely loved the way you described this topic for old business. So, Miss Kirby, you have the con.
All right. Well, because it's WrestleMania weekend, and I was thinking with the wrestling half of my brain, which combines with the Star Trek half of my brain, and I get crazy topics like this. But both Dwayne The Rock Johnson and The Big Show were celebrity guest stars on episodes of Star Trek. The Rock was in an episode of Voyager called Tsunkatse. And The Big Show was in an episode of Enterprise, and I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but it was season 4. That's all I remember. And, you know, I thought a good topic for old business would be, what was your favorite celebrity guest star? Meaning, like, big name person that has been on Star Trek, because there's been a few, and you can qualify this however you want. So I'm gonna let you go first, David, because mine's a little out there. What is your favorite celebrity guest star?
First of all, I absolutely love out there, so I'm excited to hear that. So I really had to think about this one, and there are genuinely so many. But I'm going to stay on brand, and I'm going to stick with Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And I'm going to say, from the episode The Magnificent Ferengi, punk music icon and Detroit native Iggy Pop starred as Yelgrim, a member of the Vorta, from an episode of DS9, The Magnificent Ferengi.
Yes, and he was a fantastic Vorta. He really was.
He amazingly, like, I had no idea that he acted. This was the first acting role that I had ever seen Iggy Pop in. I had always known him as a musician, of course, but he absolutely nailed this role. He really did. And just, he fit right in. And I was kind of expecting him to be a regular character after this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I could have seen him come back as that character for sure. He was fantastic in that episode.
I also do want to give a shout out to just one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek in general. And that is the episode from Voyager Gravity, where Tuvok and Tom Paris are stuck on a planet where time and gravity are all out of whack. And they run into a girl on that planet called Nos, who is played by the Tank Girl herself, Lori Petty.
Yes.
Love that episode. Love that episode. Love Lori Petty. Love everything about that one too.
Yes, 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 yes. Love that. Okay, so when I said my answer was out there, it's not that it was out there in the realms of possibility, or that like nobody who knows me would be able to guess this answer, because you probably could. But it's out there in the fact that it's very controversial.
Oh, I love that. I like it. I like it.
So in case you haven't guessed by now what my answer to this is, my favorite celebrity guest star. And you know what? He's technically a guest star because he only was in one movie. We're going to the movies. We're going to the Kelvin movies.
Okay.
We're going to the one that everybody declares is probably the worst out of all the Kelvin movies. And that is Star Trek Into Darkness and Benedict Cumberbatch playing Khan.
Okay. All right.
So
please, Heather, go ahead.
Yeah, if anyone doesn't know this about me already, I am a huge Benedict Cumberbatch fan.
Oh, that's all right. How much have I been talking about Rebecca Romijn, honestly? So, yeah, go ahead. You're fine.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, to tell you this, like, I am going to – so next month I'm going to New York literally for a day, only staying for a night to see a show that it's not even guaranteed that he's going to be there, but he typically shows up at these shows so I can see Benedict Cumberbatch. That's how crazy and huge of a Benedict Cumberbatch fan I am.
Oh, is it like a play or something?
It's like a – it's called Letters Live. They literally get a whole bunch of celebrity guests to come out and read old letters from like the 1700s. So like the one they did in March that he was at. And like I said, they never announced the guests ahead of time, but he's a member of the board of directors.
Okay. I will say, Heather, that as soon as I Googled Letters Live, his name was the first one to come up.
Exactly. So he's always there. And that's why it's like probably a very high percentage of a chance he's going to be there, even though they'd never announce it ahead of time. But like, so the last show they did, because they usually do shows in England, they don't typically do shows in the US. This is like the first time in a few years they've done a show in New York. But the last show he did, he read the last letter that was ever written by that political prisoner who just died in Russia.
Mm.
And so it's like they read letters with a lot of like historical or emotional impact and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
All right. So that sounds awesome. And Heather, you will not find a bigger fan of the Doctor Strange movies in the MCU than me. Yeah. They are far and away my favorite MCU movies. So no judgment whatsoever from me. None. So, zero.
Anyway, back to Star Trek here.
Back to Star Trek.
Benedict Cumberbatch plays Khan. Yes, in Into Darkness. And yes, I am well aware of the fact that there are many issues with the fact that there is a British white man playing Khan in this movie. Okay? But when we put the blatant, extremely offensive aspect aside to that, he is a fantastic actor and he plays a fantastic villain and he eats up the screen in this role. So had he played any other augmented captain, had they just called him John Harrison like they did at the start of the movie, I don't think there would be any question that his portrayal of this character was fantastic and wonderful and villainous and nuanced, like augmented characters are. But the fact that they revealed him to be Khan, yes, is incredibly offensive, and they should have never done that.
They really shouldn't have.
But that aside, Benedict Cumberbatch is a wonderful actor, and I'm so glad I got to see him play this character in Star Trek.
You know what? I genuinely did not ever raise a big stink about that, though I knew that everyone else that did was justified. And I completely agree with you about if he just went by John Harrison, it would have been a lot easier to deal with for people, I think.
Yeah.
And for a second, when you said like the worst Star Trek movie, I thought you were going to go with Tom Hardy as Shinzon from Star Trek Nemesis. That's what I thought you were going with.
That's true.
Because let's be honest, that one's up there too. It's up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are lots and lots and lots of celebrity choices. Lori Petty, Famke Janssen, Whoopi Goldberg, Kelsey Grammer, Tony Todd. Oh my God, Tony Todd. I completely forgot Tony Todd. Oh my God. Shame on me. Maymuna, if you hear this, I'm sorry. I forgot Tony Todd. I'm so sorry. Yeah, so many. Yeah, we could have done a top five, honestly, if we wanted to. We could have done a top five of these. Stephen Hawking in TNG. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes, oh my God. I forgot about Stephen Hawking. Shit.
Right. Like it just goes on. And I think that's a testament to the fact that Star Trek still has some pull, because it really wasn't that long ago that we got Stacey Abrams on an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That really wasn't that long ago.
So that really feeds into the second part of this question, which is, who would you want to see as a celebrity guest star in Star Trek right now?
Okay. I think that there is one particular answer that would be very on brand to us, particularly Heather, and our podcast. And I don't want to do the obvious thing.
Okay. If we're thinking the same thing right now, I'm going to do the obvious thing. So you do the not obvious thing.
I will let you do the obvious thing. If you know us, listeners, and you know our podcast, you probably can already figure it out. But in my case, I'm going to stay in the Paramount family. And there was a particular moment in the Star Trek Day celebration, I think it was in 2022, I believe, where a character that is very near and dear to my heart, a character who I have loved about as long as I have loved Star Trek, was mentioned. And is a part of the Paramount family. And I'm hoping someday that whether it's a movie night or they decide to play some sort of late 20th century, early 20th century video game, my hope is that somewhere in Star Trek, I would get to see Sonic the Hedgehog in Star Trek. That's what I would want to see.
All right. That's awesome.
I love Sonic with all my heart. I always have. I always will. I love the video games. I love the movies. Sonic is right there with wrestling and Star Trek and anime and everything else. So Paramount, if you're listening and if you can make it happen, and find some way to make Sonic the Hedgehog canon in the Star Trek universe, it would be the greatest day of my life. So if that happens, I would be beyond happy. Beyond happy. I would be delirious with joy if Sonic the Hedgehog somehow turns up on Star Trek.
All right. So my pick And like I said, I think this is what we were both thinking of. So if it's not, then you can say afterwards what you're actually thinking of. But the person I thought of, which was, and this was a lot of reasons why I came up with this topic in the first place, okay?
It is like an extremely well-timed topic.
So, Cody Rhodes is a huge
Star
Trek fan. So, we need to see Cody Rhodes in Star Trek, man.
Yeah, it's gotta happen. It's gotta happen eventually. Paramount, if you're listening, Cody Rhodes, main eventing WrestleMania, hopefully soon, the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Cody Rhodes, son of the great Dusty Rhodes, is a big Star Trek fan. So much so that he did a Star Trek cosplay, legally distinct Star Trek cosplay, when he was still with All Elite Wrestling. And he has talked about Star Trek several times in interviews and what have you. So Paramount, CBS, you should reach out to the WWE and make that happen. For those of us out there, and we are out there, that love Star Trek and love wrestling, you should make that happen for us.
And very honestly, and it's not something out of the realm of the possibility that he's like never acted before, because he has acted before. He guest starred on Arrow, so he would be perfect to just be like a one episode guest star on Star Trek. He is not just a fan of the 90s shows, he watches and follows the new shows as well. Come on, Paramount. We want Cody Rhodes in Star Trek. Finish the story, damn it.
Hey, Paramount, and hey, to any of our friends out there that do podcasts, that may have a friend of a friend who might know somebody at CBS, who might know somebody at Paramount, might want to throw that name out there to them. Cody Rhodes. It'll work out, I promise. And I bet Cody would do it in a second, no problem. So yes, Cody Rhodes. Yeah, that was the one, everybody. If you know Heather and I, you know we've talked about our dream of one day having Cody as a guest on this podcast, and maybe it'll happen someday. But yes, Cody Rhodes would be the ideal selection, along with Sonic the Hedgehog. For me personally, those two would pretty much set us up for life. I would say you could pretty much do whatever you want with Star Trek from there almost. And I would be pretty well satisfied. So get on that, please, as soon as possible. Okay, so finally we can get into new business, because we took a little bit of a break because there wasn't any new Star Trek airing, but we are back and we can talk about the first two episodes of the fifth season of Star Trek Discovery. Heather, Disco is back. Disco Thursday is alive and well. And the first two episodes have aired. We got two episodes. We were only expecting one, but we got two. The first episode was entitled Red Directive, and the second episode was titled Under the Twin Moons. As it looks like right now for season 5, the crew of the USS Discovery is on a treasure hunt, almost sort of an amazing race sort of thing. There's your synergy with CBS. And they are chasing a treasure against the clock, because there are two other people doing sort of a Bonnie and Clyde gimmick who are also hunting down this treasure. And I'll get into the story behind this in a minute. But how are you feeling, Heather? There was a lot in both of these episodes. There was a lot because it was two episodes. And the great thing about Discovery is that there's always a bunch of things happening. How did you feel about these first two episodes?
So I would say my immediate reaction from these first two episodes is that, and my understanding of this is that once they did like officially get the announcement that season 5 was going to be their last season, they went through and did some reshoots on certain things. So I don't know if that impacted stuff early in the season or just impacted stuff late in the season, but knowing that this is the last season of Disco, like my gut feeling after these two episodes is that the show knows this is the last season of Disco. And it really feels like it's heading in a direction where everyone is looking to find their certain place in this world and, you know, what they're going to continue on in their life with. And I'm okay with that. I'm very happy with that because this is sort of the resolution I want for Disco. So I'm glad that we're starting on this journey, like right at the start of the season. My first impressions, I really like Captain Rayner.
Do you?
I do.
I got to admit, I did not see that coming.
I like Captain Rayner. I think there's a lot of qualities about him that are things that Michael can relate to, even though he's older than her. And he has like one of my friends on Twitter described it as like grumpy space uncle vibes. But in like a fun way, like not like a creepy and annoying way. Like he has grumpy space uncle vibes in a fun way. In the fact that like deep down, you know, he's a good person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have grown to love and trust Admiral Vance over the past few seasons. So I know the fact that he paired him up with Michael for a reason, like he knows he's a good person. And so, like, especially with what happened in season one in the first episode, and what, like, Captain Rayner being held accountable for his decisions and some decisions that he made in that episode. But then, like, still, like, Michael still being able to see the good in him and not completely like cutting him out because of that and wanting to work with him in episode 2. And also him wanting to work with Discovery and the crew and help them out to figure out like the whole security system on that planet in the second episode. Like he's a really good guy and I'm for it. I like Captain Rayner.
I'm okay with Captain Rayner because Admiral Vance vouched for him. That moment near the end of the episode where Vance was talking with Burnham, where he was saying he knows Rayner's a good guy. He's known Rayner for 30 years and he knows him better than anybody. And that was the thing that kept coming up, was that Vance knows Rayner and knows his heart and know he's all about Starfleet. He's all about the Federation. He's all about the mission. He is a Starfleet captain through and through. Is he a little rough around the edges? Sure. Is he a little singularly focused? Sure. But his heart's in the right place. And if anybody's going to vouch for him, it's Admiral Vance. And for me, that was good enough because I absolutely trust Vance, 100%. I want to talk about Saru. I want to talk about Saru yeah. so much. My man Saru, just what an amazing story.
Saru's getting married.
Saru and Tirina are getting married. Saru is going to become a Federation ambassador. Which does mean we won't be able to see him become a captain of his own ship, but hey, we can't have everything. But what an amazing story from the beginning of Discovery to now. Just the arc between him and Michael from the very beginning to this last mission that they had together was just such a wonderful story. And him and Michael on that planet together, going through everything that was happening on that planet. And we got to see Action Saru.
Action Saru. I love that.
That was awesome. I love it. Action Saru is awesome. And I'm so jazzed to see that there is nothing I love more than a character that gets a long story arc. And Saru's story arc has just been a joy to watch. He's one of several people on Discovery that I'm going to miss terribly because of their story arc. And I'm so happy for him that everything is working out. And it's just been a joy to watch.
Yeah, like I said, Saru's story was one of the big things where it's like, this season is going to take each of these characters on a journey of finding their place. Like, you have Saru becoming an ambassador and getting married with Tarina, and really understanding love and companionship, and that she's the person he wants to spend his life with. And then you have Tilly really finding her place at the Academy, which is going to spin off into its own show, which is going to be amazing. I think the whole plot of this season with the progenitors, which, by the way, connecting this back to a TNG episode.
Amazing.
Amazing. But my gut feeling after watching these two episodes and the scene that episode one starts out with, in which Stamets is kind of upset that they're shutting down the Spore Drive program and he doesn't know what he's going to do with his life. He's going to end up being the person who focuses on like the science and the study of this progenitor tech, whatever they end up finding. Like, you know, this is going to be Stamets' thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is very obvious to me.
He leads the big projects.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
So, like, Stamets is going to find his place with this progenitor tech that they're going on a scavenger hunt for. And, like, that's going to be awesome. And I really look forward to seeing the dynamic between Burnham and Rayner going forward with him as her number one, because I think this will help Burnham grow as a captain to have someone like Rayner as her number one, someone very different from Saru, someone a little similar to herself, but it's going to challenge her to grow as a leader, which is going to be great for her. So here's my one question mark from these two episodes, and that would be Mr. Booker.
Yeah. I think that it's a little early. I think it's a little early because they've planted a couple of different seeds with Book. Number one, it seems like with him and Michael, it seems like they're still a little bit further apart. But they're not completely apart. They're still willing to work together, at least, which is a positive going forward. And it seems like Starfleet appreciates him for what he's doing, even after the events in season four got him put in jail. Number two, the fact that he knew Maul, and Maul, to a degree, recognized Cleveland Booker, the name. I think that's an interesting one. I'm interested to see where that leads. I think that it's nice that they're planting a couple of seeds for Book, and it could go either way. And what I especially like about this is that they are continuing to allow Book to interact with other members of the crew of the Discovery. He would work with Culber in the past, and Stamets, and Dr. Culber. I can't say enough good things about Dr. Culber. As a medical doctor, as a ship's counselor, he has just been absolutely phenomenal, and he continues to be terrific in this role. and he's giving Book like a second person to interact with, which is really good. It gives Book a little bit more depth, more than just being associated with Michael. And I just really like how everything right now with Discovery, everybody's got a little bit of a thing going on. Yes. Tilly and Adira are doing the science, but then we're going back to Trill, so we're going to see Gray again.
Yes, we're going to see Gray in the next episode.
Admiral Vance and Dr. Kovich are still in play. We saw a little bit of President Rillick, Raynor, Burnham, Owosakun, Detmer, Reese. They're all there. We even saw Linus. Linus was there, and they did the whole thing where the entire crew of the Discovery, and they were doing the signature Discovery spin around thing, which I love and will miss dearly. And it just feels, I'm so glad to be back on this ship with this crew, and I'm so happy to be with Discovery again. And I love all of these characters. I love them all. Even the ones I didn't like originally, I've grown to love them all. And I'm just happy that they're here.
Yes. Me too.
One more thing. Maybe it's just me. It probably isn't. But I think it didn't take long for me to figure out Raynor's going to be Burnham's new first officer. Like, I kind of picked that up pretty quickly. But at the same time, I was kind of like, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes the obvious thing is the okay answer, like finishing the story. Yeah, Raynor as Burnham's number one is perfectly fine. I wish we could see more of it in the future, maybe in some movies. I don't know. But yeah, I liked it, even though I could see it coming.
Yeah, I have a feeling, especially like with the relationship between Burnham and Tilly, we're going to have moments where we see Burnham in the Starfleet Academy show. I have a feeling
that
about that.
Would be awesome. Oh man, you know what? I cannot wait to actually talk about Starfleet Academy. I really cannot wait. And I'm so glad that Paramount and CBS and Star Trek and Alex Kurtzman are sticking with Mary Wiseman to lead this show. Like that is so awesome. I'm so jazzed about that. I love it. I love everything about it. We love Mary Wiseman here, and we love Tilly, even though I didn't in the beginning. We love Tilly now. And I'm excited. I'm just excited. I'm excited for more Star Trek.
All right. Well, speaking of more Star Trek, I think it's time to move on to upcoming business.
It is. So we got some interesting news about the upcoming Section 31 movie starring Michelle Yeoh, Academy Award winning actress Michelle Yeoh. We got the casting announcements, and we got news that a young Rachel Garrett, captain of the Enterprise C, will make an appearance in the Section 31 movie.
Well, so the Section 31 movie is done. It's in post-production, okay? Like, the casting announcements came way before they started filming or whatever. But the announcement that, like, they didn't announce who any of these people were actually playing and what characters they were playing until after they filmed the movie. And the recent, like, huge Variety article about the state of Star Trek mentioned that this particular person will be playing young Rachel Garrett. I think that's awesome. Rachel Garrett is an amazing character. I have no idea at what point Georgiou is going to meet Rachel Garrett, but I look forward to seeing more Rachel Garrett in Star Trek. So I'm excited for this.
I'm very, very intrigued. For those that may not be in the know, Rachel Garrett, again, was the captain of the USS Enterprise C, which we saw in the TNG episode Yesterday's Enterprise, where the timelines got all wonky. And Rachel Garrett was played by Trisha O'Neill. She's the captain of the Enterprise C, before the Enterprise D and Jean-Luc Picard. And this is really interesting. It's just so interesting. In just that little bit alone, there's so much you could go with there. There's so much. And I'm glad that they are doing new things with things that may not have been completely explored in the past. Just like with pulling the progenitors from a TNG episode. Pulling Rachel Garrett from an episode, that is a deep cut. It's not quite Nick Locarno levels of deep cut, but it's pretty damn deep, Heather.
Well, I don't think it's that damn deep, because I think it's a character that should have been explored way before now. So, as someone who really loves Rachel Garrett, like, I think she's a very beloved character. And so I think it's about damn time. I don't think it's deep cut, but yeah.
It's definitely not as deep as Nick Locarno. We'll say that. That was a deep cut for sure for Lower Decks.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Creation Entertainment, everybody's favorite convention company, announced that they will be doing regional Star Trek conventions later this year. Let me pull this part up. Creation, Star Trek. The conventions were announced for San Francisco, Las Vegas, the classic STLV, Chicago, and what are the other ones? Let's see. San Francisco, Las Vegas, Austin, Texas, Indianapolis, and I think also Chicago in October. So there's a bunch.
Well, there's like also Nashville, there's New Jersey. And here's my issue with this. Mm-hmm. When they announced that they were doing San Francisco, and they said they were going to try it out and see how it works and then possibly do more. Like, I thought that would mean like next year. Not like, oh, San Francisco worked well, so we're going to schedule like six fucking other conventions all in a row at the end of the fucking year. Like, I'm not sure how well this is going to work for them. Because it feels like they were like, oh yeah, San Francisco was a success, so we're just going to throw it all at the wall at once and see which one sticks. Like, I don't know. And it still seems like it's really in flux, because they keep adding different dates and different cities on there, but they haven't actually started selling tickets to any of these yet. So it feels like it's kind of up in the air and still subject to change. And I don't like the idea that they're giving us all these cities and all these dates, but nothing is set in stone.
I am choosing to be optimistic. I get the impression that the convention in the Bay Area met and maybe even exceeded expectations. So Creation Entertainment decided to say, hey, let's give Star Trek fans in different parts of the United States the thing that they want. And that's conventions. And as someone who has gone to too many conventions in his life, yes, please.
but look, it's but like...
nobody is saying you have to go to them all. Obviously.
Well, honestly, Creation is saying that you have to go to them all. Otherwise, they're not going to do them again.
I don't... necessarily think that's the case.
I think that's the case. I think that if you don't show up in these cities, then they're not going to run it in that city again because it didn't have people there.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how it works.
But that's not, it's not fair when you're literally scheduling conventions like a few weeks after one another. Like, I don't like it. I think it would have worked out better if they wanted to do one in the fall. They picked one city to do it in the fall, not six different cities.
I guess I'm looking at this from the perspective of the anime cons, because there are anime cons everywhere, but they're all regional. I'm in Michigan. I go to the conventions that are in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and I'll occasionally make a big trip somewhere else. I get the impression that that's kind of what Creation might be going for, and that if you are in this region, you don't have to go all the way to Las Vegas. You don't have to. You can, but you don't have to, and that's okay. And I'm okay with that. I'll say I see the vision. I see what they're going for. And I do hope it works.
I don't necessarily like it because I feel like they hit the East Coast with New Jersey. They hit like Texas and the Southwest with the date in Texas. But then it's like my problem is with the Midwest because I feel like they're throwing dates and cities against the Midwest in which a lot of people could go to, but they're only going to pick one. You know, like there's Chicago, there's Nashville. I would rather go to Nashville than Chicago because I've already been to Chicago once. But it's like, I don't like them throwing shit against the wall. I don't like the fact that none of these actually have tickets on sale yet. So they're going to have people buy tickets at the last minute for all this. I think it's setting Star Trek fans up to fail.
I think that it is giving Star Trek fans options. I think that they are saying, just pick one. You can pick just one. And I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that. And if Star Trek fans want to pick one that is closest to them, go to that one. Go to that one. And don't worry about the others. Don't worry about the others. Go to the one that you want to go to. That's really how conventions work, really. And I get it. I understand what they're trying to do. Will it work? I don't know. But I understand what they're trying to do.
Like, it's just too much too fast. Like, had they chosen one city for a fall convention and then next year added more dates, I would have been all for that. But I don't think the idea of adding, like, six different convention dates at the end of this year is a good plan. And it's ultimately going to end up fail, and we're going to lose as fans for that.
How would you feel if they did announce this in 2025 or for 2025 instead?
I would be all for it because I think then you could plan ahead. I'm not a big idea of just like randomly picking up and going to a convention because I don't have the money to do that. Like, I have to save up. I got to plan ahead for it. And so I think if they had announced more dates in 2025 than just throwing it all at the end of 2024, it would be better.
I definitely get that. I definitely do. We'll see. We will see. I really hope it works out. I really, really do. Because I love conventions so much. they're such a positive for fandom and community and socialization. I love them. I really, really hope this works. I'm really rooting for creation on this one. I'm so wishing that this works out for them. I really, really am. But we shall see. We shall see.
We shall see, and we got to wrap it up because the bagpipes are coming out, and it's
okay. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to the 82nd episode of the Promenade Merchants podcast. I'm David. That's Heather. Follow the podcast on Twitter or Blue Sky at Prom Trek Pod. That's PROM Trek POD, like the band from SoCal. Prom Trek Pod. Heather, before we go, take it home.
Shit up, tits out, and watch for the shoes.